Now let us commence by singing hymn 1032, How Shall I Give Thee Up? Since Jesus speaks the word, I am the sinner's only hope. I am thy gracious Lord. Hymn 1032. Instruction from God's word out of the epistle to the Ephesians, a part of chapter 4, in the second epistle of Timothy, a part of chapter 1, and a few verses out of chapter 4. The epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Turning to the second epistle to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then chapter 4, just 5 verses here. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word, and help us now at the throne of grace. O thou almighty God, O what thou condescend now to look down upon us here, and not, Lord, just to look down, but, oh, we pray that thou wilt come down. We would come, Lord, in the spirit of the church of old, rend the heavens and come down and pour out the blessing. Lord, we pray that here tonight it may please thee to do so, that thou wilt do it for thy name's sake, that thou, O God, wilt do it for the glory of God, that we, Lord, may yet feel something of our hearts raised up and drawn forth in wonder and love unto thee, that we might be able, Lord, to come and say, indeed, that the Lord hath been mindful of us. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt thus, O come. Wilt thou, O Lord, remove now all the hindering things, things of the day, thoughts, burdens, cares, all these things, Lord, which are like so many foxes that come in and spoil everything. O Lord, we pray that we may be set free. May our hearts be drawn upward. Oh, to feel something, Lord, of our souls being drawn away from earth, away from all things here, to those things which are above. Oh, that we may have a glimpse now of the kingdom of God, that we might have some view of the kingdom south. Oh, how we long for that, Lord. We would see Jesus. We would behold him, the great head of the church. We would behold him, the worker of all things. Him who indeed hath blessed the church with his grace, his word, his promise, with his work, with his great salvation. Yea, Lord, thou hast blessed the church with thy spirit. Oh, come now then. And we do pray, Lord, that there might be a sweet savour of thy name poured forth. Oh, how we pray, Lord, that we may never lose sight of that wondrous truth, that thy name is great and greatly to be praised. Help us then, Lord. Oh, may it be that here tonight there might be the loosening of some tongues that have long been dumb, long remain silent, that they, O Lord, might break forth, that they, Lord, might feel something of the sweet constraint and compelling nature of thy grace, that they, Lord, might be able then to truly praise thee. O Lord, thou knowest, even of thy dear people here tonight, who perhaps feel that their tongue has been silent too, and thou would come like with thy servant David, praying that thou wilt pardon their sin. And then, Lord, they shall speak of the glory of thy grace. Oh, bless us now and help us. Oh, Lord, we especially think of that time that we have come together to remember, Lord, mercies. Mercies of a day. Mercies of a week, mercies of a year, mercies of 30 years. Oh Lord, what indeed can we say to us belong with confusion of face? Lord, we look over the years and see nothing but failings on our part, sins, shortcomings. And yet, we would truly speak of the faithfulness of God. Oh, indeed, Lord, thou hast not dealt with us after our sins. We would thank thee for that. and bless thee. And we do pray, Lord, that our hearts might really be broken. That it may be, Lord, with melting frames we come this night. That we may truly, Lord, feel that the Lord hath been mindful of us. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased also then to give us that faith to believe that thou wilt yet lead on. For with those days, weeks, or years that may be yet remain, and Lord, they can but be few now, but oh, may they be, Lord, yet years of many blessings. May there be many seasons of refreshing. May there be those times, Lord, when we shall draw water from the wells of salvation, when we, Lord, shall know something of our heart being enlarged and strengthened, our souls encouraged, when we may feel at times, Lord, something of the love of Christ shed abroad, to feel something, Lord, of the goodness of the Lord upon us. Oh, but Lord, keep us. Do keep us as the apple of thine eye. Keep us, Lord, in the way of truth. Keep us from evil, that it may not grieve us. Oh, Lord, do keep us in love. Keep us, Lord, in that bond of the Spirit. Oh, help us that we may strive for it. And, oh, Lord, we pray that we may behold it as a church and people, that the Lord is very gracious. Lord, thou hast been. Oh, we pray that thou wilt go on to be. Oh, truly, Lord, we look back over the years. And there have been many things, Lord, which have been to us trying times. Oh, many times the enemy has come. Oh, Lord, he's come in like a flood at times. And yet thou hast lifted up the standard. Oh, we thank thee for that. And though oftentimes, Lord, he has endeavored to destroy, yet thou, O God, hast overruled. Oh, we thank thee again. Oh, indeed, Lord, who is a God like unto thee? We do praise and bless thy name, then, for all that thou art and all thou hast been. And yet, Lord, oh, when we think of the needs that there are, tremendous needs, now, the needs for eternity, the needs of the soul, needs for daily grace. And, oh, Lord, if we had to look to men, to ourselves, we would sink. Indeed, Lord, we must fall. But we look unto thee, the great burden bearer, the mighty God. We look to thee, who has said, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt then go on before us. Do thou hold us up. Draw us after. Oh, give us grace, Lord, that we may feel at times our hearts enlarged, that we may, Lord, be enabled even to take up the cross and to follow thee. To follow, Lord, close. To follow in thy steps. Oh, that we might know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God in that. Make us meek, humble, lowly. Oh, Lord, keep us in that place where we cannot fall far. To be kept low, Lord, before thee is good and safe. Oh, Lord, leave us not then. And we do pray that thou remember each of the dear friends. We think of our aged friends who have been spared to us through the 30 years. Yes, some, Lord, thou hast taken, but others spared still. And at times, Lord, we fear that they had been taken. But thou, O God, hast been very gracious. We thank thee for preserving. We thank thee for their help. We thank thee for their prayers. We do pray that thou wilt be with them and uphold and bless them. Remember others, Lord. We think of each of the dear families. Oh, how our hearts go out to them. Our desires for them. That they, O Lord, might truly be blessed. And that they might feel that thou art their God. That thou, O Lord, wilt guide them, supply their needs. And do, Lord, help them. That they might abide fast by thy maidens. And may they, Lord, be given grace. Be with each parent in all their needs. Help them, Lord. Do remember the dear children too. Oh, those little ones, Lord, we pray for them. Have mercy upon their souls. Pity them, Lord. Spread thy wings over them. Shield them. Keep them, Lord, from the paths of destruction. Oh, give unto them that wisdom and the fear of the Lord. Give them a conscience which is alive, a conscience which is tender, a conscience which speaks, a conscience which reproves. Bless them, Lord, with it, and leave them not to harden nor to sear it. Oh, be very gracious. Our younger friends, those, Lord, in young adults, Lord, remember them each too, in their paths, and all their needs. They have their great concerns, and we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet direct all their way. Help them, Lord, to commit their way unto thee. Oh, that thou, O God, wilt so make thy face to shine upon them. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember each yet who are still in the crutches of sin, who are found, Lord, in nature's darkness. Wilt thou have mercy upon them and open the eyes, give the understanding. Oh, Lord, grant that there might be that time come when they shall seek the Lord while he is to be found. Oh, remember us now. Do remember yet all who are troubled with afflictions, tried paths. Lord, we commend them all to thee. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet help them to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt accept our petitions. Wilt thou, O Lord, hear our cry, pardon every sin and the multitudes of sin. Sins of all kinds of nature, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, forgive, Lord, all our unbelief, our hardness of heart, our deadness. Do come now and revive and visit us. Accept our thank offerings for the many mercies and the kind provisions. We thank thee, Lord, for all the faithfulness of God and for the word of God, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, receive us now. We ask in his name. Amen. Let's continue by singing hymn number 984. This is one of those hymns that shortly after I believe the Lord began with me, feeling myself hopeless and miserable, came to chapel one Sunday morning and this hymn was given out. And oh, how sweet it was. As we went through the hymn, I thought then, Lord, there may yet be hope for such as me. 984, hark, how the gospel trumpet sounds. Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be. And if free grace, why not for me? Hymn 984. This evening now to the book of the Psalms, chapter 48, Psalm 48, and then the last clause in verse 13. The 48th Psalm, verse 13, the last clause. Tell it, that ye may tell it to the generation following. That ye may tell it to the generation following. On such occasions as an anniversary service for a length of time, perhaps there are those very suitable texts, such as that one in 1 Samuel 7, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." A text I'm sure that's been spoken on many occasions of an anniversary service. Or perhaps that text that Paul speaks of, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day. He has another very good text, that truly ascribes all the glory unto God. Earlier in the week that text came to me, but what hath God wrought? And truly that is a very suitable text for such an occasion. What hath God wrought? But as the week progressed, this word kept coming, that ye may tell it to the generation following. And it seemed to settle in my mind, and this is why that, yes, now many of us here are in that last generation. A generation that is going out. There are generations yet coming up. And oh, how our hearts go out to them. That the Lord will be with them. The Lord will be their help, their guide. And not forsake them. That the Lord would draw their soul after Him. And you will, the younger generations, may God bless you. May He draw near. May He draw you near to Him. Oh, that the Lord might manifest that He has delighted in you. For that is all we can say, that if He goes with any people, it's because He delights in them. Not because of their goodness, not because of anything of decency in them. It's of His own free, sovereign will that He delights in any soul, in any people, that He would go with them. He reminded His people of old, but it was not because they were the greatest of nations or the mightiest of nations or any other thing. They were the smallest of nations, but it wasn't because of that either. It's because the Lord delighted in them from eternity. A sovereign, eternal choice. Oh, we would tell it to the generation following. But oh, as we come to our text this evening, and I cannot be long in every point, and for the sake of time, what's to follow. Very briefly, we have two things in our text this evening. A certain people who are found in the word generation. And then, what is to be told them? Very simple, very plain, very clear. There is a generation, and there's something there to be told. What are we to understand by the generation? Tell ye. The generation following. Now, we might naturally think, well, it's the next generation rising up. But, oh, if there's something special in God's Word about certain generations. Who makes up a generation? For you know, the Lord speaks about certain generations. The Lord declared Himself when He was here on earth, this is an evil and an adulterous generation. We do. We cannot help but feel that such is the state and time we are in. It's a very evil and adulterous generation. A generation who do not fear God. And all around us, that is manifest. That we are in the midst of such a generation. There's no fear of God. They do not seek the Lord. They will not. They have been blinded by the God of this world. And the Lord declared of them that having eyes they see not, having ears they hear not, lest the blessed gospel should come unto them and they should be saved. Solemn judgment that. Solemn. But it's God's own word. And that. Again, we read that this is a perverse and crooked generation. Again, another two more things that mark the present time as well. Crooked and perverse. Everything's perverted today. And what a crook there is in everything. Not the old generation that it's to be told to really. Or again, we do read elsewhere, there is a generation that is pure in their own eyes. That's a religious generation. Sad, dear friend, when that has taken over in religious circles. They are pure in their own eyes. That's not the generation that the Lord speaks of in our text this evening. Because the generation that the Lord speaks of, dear friend, they're altogether different than that. Again, we read of a generation whose eyes are lofty. Oh, dear friend, if that is describing you and I tonight, what a solemn judgment. But may God in His mercy condescend unto us to show us something else and make known to us now something of a right generation, a generation that would fear God. We have David speaking in Psalm 14 of such a generation where he speaks, God is in the generation of the righteous. Now, different to be of that generation. A generation of the righteous. Your dear young friends tonight, there may be many things you hear that you will not remember. But I hope you remember that. And I hope you begin to pray that. And beg of God that He will make you of that generation of the righteous. One of them. What a blessed people they are. To hear that people speak of themselves, you would think, well, they're not righteous at all. All they can do is speak of their sin, their failings, their fears. They speak of so many temptations. But they're the generation of the righteous. And they do fear God. That is a mark of the righteous. They fear Him. Oh, they long to come near Him. Oh, that we might have something of that mark. That we are of that generation. Longing to come near. To draw nigh unto God. A blessed generation they are. And the Lord knoweth those who would draw nigh to Him. Oh dear soul, you tonight may think that God does not know. That God does not understand. God does not really perceive where you are. I tell you, He does. He knows if you're one of those fearing, trembling, who longs to come near to Him. Though you feel in yourself so unable. And you feel so backward about it. Oh, you feel it's the height of folly for such as you to draw nigh to the holy, holy God. The generation of the righteous. Oh, a blessed generation they are. Who have something of that mark. Who know something of such a place. A few chapters later, David speaks of the generation again. And David was one who had a keen insight into something of this generation. That's in our text this evening. For David speaks again in the 22nd chapter. A sea shall serve him. It shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. Oh, defend that seed. So often the Word of God comes down to something so small. The Lord's people are very small. They're made small. And oh, dear friend, if God has not made you small, then you're not yet in the way. But God makes his people very small. But it's that little seed. How often the Lord speaks of the little seed. That seed again is found in the book of Amos. And I will sift the house of Israel as a man sifteth grain with a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain, the least seed, fall to the ground. Oh, that little seed. There is a generation that is accounted to the Lord. In that little seed. Oh, dear friend, if you and I are but like that, just small in ourselves, and insignificant, poor and needy, this generation. Ah, David speaks to that generation, this is the generation of them that seek thee, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Oh, dear friend, what a mercy to be of that generation. You dear young friends, may God make you of that generation. That is a generation that God owns, that God loves, that God will redeem. What a generation they are. How blessed they are. And they're a generation who God watches over, he cares for. His eye is upon them. Oh, depending, he never loses sight of that generation. Not once. And even though at times there are many who would offend them and grieve them, even some of God's own people may do that. Sadly. You know, dear Asaph, he was well nigh on the hinge of doing that. The dear man was so troubled and afflicted in his temptation. Why he had to endure so many trials, such a hard path. Well, there were many who feared not God, and they were blessed, so it seemed anyway. Ah, the dear man, he comes to this place. He feared now that he would come short. He was troubled that he was outside that secret of God. But notice, dear friend, how God kept him. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. This is what he was saying now. His endeavor to walk uprightly, his endeavor to walk in the fear of God, I've done it all in vain. I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus. If he would go on, giving vent to the feelings of his heart. If I would speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. I should offend them. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Oh, defend the man's heart was still very tender. I think of how many times many who do fear God, and I believe genuinely so, have offended a little one. And they weren't grieved by it. They weren't checked by it. And they sinned against the Lord by it. Oh, to remember Asaph here. When I thought to know this, it was too painful. Oh, it hurt him to think that he would offend one of those little ones. How much more should it be to us in our day when the Lord speaks of us, whosoever offendeth one of these little ones, it were better that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he be cast into the sea. Dear friend, God watches over those little ones. the generation that fear him. O, different are we of that generation who do fear God. A generation who know him. A generation that he has manifested how he cares so much for them. When David was writing, or Asaph was writing, regarding the history of Israel through their wilderness journey, he speaks of them again in this way. We will not hide them, that is the ways of God, his gracious dealings, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Oh, dear friend, this is what we would endeavor to do tonight. We will not hide things from the generation to come, but we may God help us to show them something of the praises of God. Oh, that we could praise God for all he's been and all he's done to, as a church and people. Dear friend, this indeed we need grace to do. Much grace. That the generation to come might know them, might know the wondrous works of God, might know his gracious dealings, might know how he goes before his people. Dear friend, that is what it must be when we come to the words of our text this evening, that we might tell it to the generation to come. Ye may tell it. Now, dear friend, who can tell it? Who can tell it? It's those whom God has led forth. It's those for whom God has wrought deliverances, for whom God has shown them something of his mighty grace. They can tell it. Others can't. You know, sadly, there are so many today who grow up under the truth. They hear it, they think they can tell it. But what a sorry mess they make of it, really. Oh, different one can tell it. Through God's gracious mercies, through the Lord's divine favors, the Lord appearing for them in such times when they were brought so low, when they felt that they would sink down and never rise again. And then the Lord appears. Oh, they would tell it. I think of dear Jonah when he finally went to Nineveh. Oh, you see, he could tell things. He didn't tell what he should have told, really, did he? But I believe the report of what had happened came back to Nineveh. And God worked. We did. But oh, how many a time there are those of God's dear people who have sunk into such depths of sin. David did. And while he was in that state, he couldn't tell the generation to come, could he? But once the Lord had delivered him from it, once the Lord had brought him to repentance, once the Lord had returned unto him his favor again, then David could say, O Lord, open thou my lips, my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Then he would tell sinners, then he would teach them, as he went on to say later in that psalm, how that he would teach them something of the truth of God. But it wasn't until the Lord had delivered him and his mouth was opened again. Oh, then he could tell. Oh, this is the people that can tell. And are there any of those here tonight? Oh, dear friend, can you tell? The generation to come. Be careful. If you tell it, dear friend, in such a way to exalt yourself, you're not telling it. But if you tell it out of love, if you tell it with a heart broken and contrite, if you tell it under a sense of God's great goodness as such an unworthy sinner, oh, you'll tell it and they will hear. Oh, to tell it aright. May the Lord search our hearts out on this, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Oh, but what is to be told? Here, dear friend, we must come and seek that help of God and understanding. What is to be told to the generation? Well, to the generation to come, first of all, we must tell how that God is a very jealous God. He is jealous of His honor and glory. He is jealous of the honor of His name. He is jealous of all His holy ways. He is very jealous of His word. Oh, He did speak of that word. But He has honored His word above even that of His name. I've told you before, dear friend, but how contrary that is to human nature. We don't like it perhaps when people come against some words that we say, but we can tolerate it. But if they touch our name, oh, then we do take great offense. But God, He esteems His word above all His name. Oh, dear Lord, what a God He is. To the generation following, God help you to esteem His word, to prize it, to read it, to meditate in it, to study. God help you to do that, to love it, to obey it. Oh, this is what we would tell the generation to come. Not just that. Oh, dear friend, there's much more to tell of Him. We would tell the generation to come of His mercies. Oh, dear friend, what a God of mercy He is. We read in the prophecy of Micah that He delights in mercy. He delights in it. Oh, if there's a soul troubled, a soul burdened with sin, a soul under a sense of guilt, a soul that comes pleading for mercy, dear friend, you come upon the ground that God delights in the most, mercy. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage, who retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. Oh, dear friend, what a wonderful because. What a glorious truth. Oh, we would tell it to the generation following. That this God is a God of mercy. Oh, precious mercy they are then. But as these two aspects of mercy, dear friend, I would have you especially to bear in mind. One is forbearance. Oh, if in His mercy there's such long forbearance. Look at how He dealt with His people in the wilderness. The hardness of their heart, their murmurings, their rebellings, their complainings. Oh, their unbelief. And yet, dear friend, did He not bear with them all the days of old? There's His mercy. Bearing with them. Oh, wonderful God. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Forbearance. And oh, dear soul, if God leads you at all, you'll be brought more and more to prize that forbearance. What forbearance He shows to poor sinners. This we would tell to the generation following. The other aspect of that mercy, forgiveness. Oh, what a wonderful word. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And the Lord does delight in forgiving. He forgives for Jesus' sake. Oh, to have a glimpse of that too, dear friend. Whatever forgiveness he has toward his people, it's all for Jesus' sake. Remember how Paul reminded the believers that they were to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. For Christ's sake. Oh, and you and I may find it sometimes very hard to forgive a fellow man. Haven't really learned, have we, the real nature of forgiveness then, for Christ's sake. Oh, we would tell it to the generation following. What a forgiving God he is. He brings forth that beautiful illustration in the Gospels of that one who won 500 pence and I can't remember, was it 50 or something, but anyway, how he was ready to forgive them both. Or again, he brings forth that of that parable of one who, I forgave you all that debt. And yet that very man who was forgiven, he would not forgive his fellow debtors. Dear friend, that is the spirit we are of so much. Oh, we would tell it to the generation following. His mercies. Mercies so great. I brought it forth in the Sabbath school already. When God gave the dimensions of the mercy seat, he gave the length, the depth, the width. He mentioned no measure to the height of the mercy seat. No measure of that. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So great. Oh, and this is that mercy of God. We would tell to the generation following. But we would tell too, secondly, something of his love. Oh, different, can we tell of it tonight? What have we really experienced of that love? The love of God. That love, stronger than death. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Different, there's a love stronger than death. Oh, I cannot grasp it, dear friend. It's beyond me that he should do it, not as Paul wrote, for God commended his love toward us when we were yet enemies. Enemies. Oh, dear friend, if you ever come into something of the love of God, and you do not feel yourself to be an enemy, you haven't really entered into it. That's the wonder of it. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. This we would tell to the generation to come. Of that love. In such a way. That love that is unchanging. Oh, if any does it change. Because of the dealings of mankind, because of their actions, because of how that they might treat him, he doesn't change in that love. The love of his people grows so cold so often. Dear Isaac Watts put it in one of his hymns, "Dear Lord, and shall we ever live? At this poor dying rate, our love to thee so faint, so cold, and thine to us so great." Oh, to the generation, dear friend, there is such love in God to his people. An unchanging love. though oftentimes as people forget him, though oftentimes they behave so wrong before him, yet he never changed in his love. He loves through every changing scene, nor aught can him from Zion wean. Not all the wanderings of his heart could make his love from them depart. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. And if the Lord has ever brought any of his dear people in something of that path of repentance again, returning to him, they will marvel at that. It's an unchanging love. But it's an everlasting love. Yes, dear friend, it is a love from eternity to eternity. Oh, we must remember to tell the generation to come that. What a precious thing it is to experience something of the love of God. And I can only be brief, dear friend, in every one of these things. But we must tell them of his power. Now, dear friend, you dear young friend, younger generation, that power of God. If you are brought to really understand something of the power of your sin, the power of your loss, the power of this world to draw you away, the power of temptations, the power of Satan, oh, the many powers that are against the poor sinner, however can they come through? Oh, but here's that power of God. Oh, but he will keep them. Oh, they do stumble. They at times fall. Yes. Oh, how many times we see them reeling to and fro, and yet they're kept by the power of God. Kept. They're kept from finally falling away. There's that power that holds them fast, a power that won't let them go. Oh, defend, if you had to rely on your power to hold on to him, you'd fall away. Even at the last moment, you'd sink down to an endless eternity. But oh, it's that power of God that holds his people fast. Defend, it's this which in my very early days I could hardly believe that God could love me, but I did believe that his power was such, and it had to be his power that would ever hold me. I knew, I was convinced I could never hold him. Oh, this power of God. This is what we would tell to the generation to come. What a power it is. A power to preserve his people. A power to deliver. Oh, do you not need that soul? Do we not need that first deliverance from the grave? Like Lazarus to be called forth from the grave of sin. Dear friend, we need that. We cannot raise ourselves up. Whatever men might say of human responsibility, there's nothing to it, dear friend, to raise themselves up. They cannot. It's the power of God that must come to raise up from that awful place. But then the power to deliver continually. For we need deliverances day by day. And there are manifold deliverances that we have to ask, says Paul to the Corinthians, who hath delivered us, who we trust, who doth deliver us, and who we trust will yet deliver us, past, present, and future. Oh, this we would tell to the generation to come, the mighty power of God to deliver his people. But then, that power, oh, we want to know and understand that power in another way. That is in the destruction of our enemies. And the destruction of the sin within us too. The Lord said unto the Roman church by the apostles' writings, God shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Lord, when there is that destroying of the enemy. But oh, we feel so much that we know so little of God. Our sin being destroyed, our enemy being destroyed. Oh, defend the Lord's power, though we search, He will deliver. But then we come to another point. We would tell the generation to come. That is His faithfulness. His faithfulness. And as I was thinking over the 30 years and during the week, all I could say has been, it's been one massive unfaithfulness on my part. Yet He abided faithful. Precious word. He abided faithful. If we believe not, said the apostle, He abideth faithful. He abideth faithful to His word, to His promises. Oh, and whatever promise He makes, He will ne'er go back on it. He will accomplish, He will fulfill it, He will bring all to pass. Oh, He allows us to come into those places when it looks utterly hopeless. Abraham and Sarah came to the place where the promise of God seemed now to have come to its end. It could not be any more that it would be fulfilled. They would take the action in their own hand. They would endeavor to do it and to accomplish that promise. They could never do that. And they found out God was faithful to His promise. Oh, dear friend, whatever God has promised, however long He may delay it being fulfilled, however dark it may come prior to it, dear friend, that promise will shine all the brighter when it's fulfilled then. Oh, the precious promise of God then. Oh, dear friend, I think back to some of the promises I believe God gave. And I was sure of them. And the ones that he has given today, dear friend, He has fulfilled. We've proven it. Wonderfully so. There are others yet that we wait and watch on. Just one word of caution though in promises. We're very foolish if we go around telling everybody what promises God has given us, dear friend. You prove it at the throne of grace. You wrestle with Him there. You wait on Him to fulfill it. Be careful, because we can be deceived. George Whitefield was sure that the Lord gave him a promise regarding his son, that he was going to be a minister greater than himself. The Lord took the boy when he was 8 years old. He never lived to adulthood. What of that promise then? And when I think of Mr. Whitfield could be mistaken, how much more can I, can you? Oh, defend us God given a promise. You won't go speaking of it before men, but you will. Plead at the throne of grace. Oh, He is faithful to that promise. Every promise He speaks, He is faithful. Oh, what about that promise? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Have we not proven it? Oh, there are times when we would come like Jacob in Isaiah 40. Jacob has said, my Lord hath forgotten me. My God hath forsaken me. Poor Jacob. What had thy God done to you, make you say that? Well, some of us, we could give our reasons, couldn't we? But oh, if he never has forsaken. You know, the beautiful illustration of the footprints in the sand. Oh, the story of a man who had a picture of his life. And there was always the two footprints, his and the Lord, going side by side until he come into the darkest valleys of his life. And then there was only one footprint. And as he looked on it in his dream, he said, Lord, why is it that in my darkest hours thou didst forsake? And the Lord answered, my child, that was when I carried you. He doesn't forsake. Oh, to the generation following, we declare this of the mighty God. What a God he is. What a precious God, what a dear Savior he is. And that brings me to this point. I must just be brief, dear friend, but oh, we would declare his preciousness. But who can declare it? Who can tell how precious he is? Oh, I will tell you some who can. The soul that has been lying at the gate of hell, that soul has been, as it were, feeling he will sink down forever. And then, as we spoke on Sunday evening, I bring him back from the pit, I found a ransom. That soul can speak of the preciousness of that Savior who brought him back, who delivered him from it. Oh, how precious he is. Mr. Popham made the statement that he felt very strong in this, that the preciousness of Christ to his people is found more in the desire of him than in the possession of him so much. Dear friend, there's something very beautiful about that. The desires after him. Oh, have you something of those desires? In the night season, oh, is there that desire? Have there been times when you've gone to his word and your heart's been so full of desire that you might see him there, that you might find him? Oh, is he so precious then? Has it been, dear friend, when in a time of great distress the Lord has drawn near and spoken? Oh, how precious he is. Then, oh, has he made himself precious to us, to the generation to come? I could say this indeed is where Christ is most precious. The bride, she knew something of it. When she had to describe her beloved to the daughters of Jerusalem, oh, what an account she gave of his head, of his eyes, of his hair, of his hands, of his feet, of his legs, of his mouth, of his countenance. She sums it up, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, this we would tell to the generation to come. Oh, different what? What a precious God he is. What a precious Savior. What a dear friend. A friend of sinners. One touched with the feelings of their infirmities. One so full of sympathy. Deep compassion. One who pities so. Oh, this is that God whom we would speak of and we would tell to the generation to come. No wonder the psalmist finishes up this psalm with, for this God is our God. Forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death. Well, may God in his mercy condescend to be that God to us in the days ahead. Years if it should please him. Collectively, but individually too, and to each one for his name's sake. Let us continue now by singing the third hymn. And I'm not going to say anything on it now, but I hope, if I'm to speak of what this hymn was made to me at some point. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song. The joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11.